walking through this life with us and holding our hand. We don't know what the future holds. We know it holds the future. And for that, we can be very excited about 2018. Do you believe in miracles? Do you believe in miracles? Now, we teach that to our kids and we say that to our kids, but do we live like we actually believe in the miraculous? We want to remind ourselves of these miracles. Last week, two miracles. This week, two miracles, English and in Spanish. Remind ourselves of these miracles to encourage us to expect and experience the miraculous in 2018. Something greater than us. Have you heard or said any of these following statements? I'm in need of a miracle. Girl, he needs a miracle. She's a walking miracle. Now that'll take a miracle. Last week and this week, we're going to define miracle according to dictionary.com, an effect or extraordinary event in the physical world that surpasses all known human or natural powers and is ascribed to a supernatural cause. And so last week, I went over my definition and I kind of added to it a little bit. And so here's what I kind of, when I think of miracle, when I read the Bible, here's what kind of, what I put together. A miracle is both vertical and vertical and horizontal in function. Vertical, because it can be described as an event fueled by the power of God that is not tied down, like we said last week, to human logic, not handcuffed to the laws of physics, and not chained to mathematical probabilities. The explanation of the miraculous event cannot be explained without the supernatural intervention of the God of the Bible. Miracles also, though, are horizontal, because many times God chooses to involve human free will as a prerequisite to his sovereign miraculous action all at the same time. And when the vertical action of God, when the vertical action of God meets the horizontal action of mankind, you get a supernatural action that is orchestrated by the power of God, while at the same time impacting mankind to strengthen and advance his kingdom where he gets the glory. That's kind of a long definition. Passionate Pastor Stephen Furtick reflects on God's part and our part in relation to miracles in his book, When the Sun Stands Still. And I want to read a little bit of that to you, because when we talk about the miraculous last week and this week, and expect and ask for the miraculous in 2018, what's God's part and what's our part in it? Because they're both involved. He says, I now want to point out something else big from the story of Joshua at the Battle of Gibeon. Yes, Joshua had the faith to pray an audacious prayer. Hold on a second, guys. I may just be turning this thing around because this thing keeps jumping. Let me get through this. Hold on. Come on, baby. Time for a new iPad. All right, I'm going to get it. Yes, Joshua had the faith to pray an audacious prayer. And yes, God stopped the sun in the middle of the sky as a result. But Joshua had to fight the battle for himself. Asking and acting go hand in hand. And sometimes the action that faith requires is quite demanding. Joshua 10:9 casually slips in after an all-night march from Gilgal. An all-night march, lugging weapons and supplies through enemy territory in the dark, 20 miles uphill only hours before the biggest battle of the campaign. This puts faith in a different perspective. Joshua's big prayer wasn't a cop-out. He didn't ask God to make the sun stand still while kneeling in the comfort of his tent. He did it on his feet after an all-night march and an all-day battle. Sometimes, when we need a miracle from God, we have a tendency to divorce his part from our part. Isn't that right? We say things like, well, all we can do now is pray. And Pastor Furtick says that that's short-sighted on multiple levels. He says, for one thing, why are we talking about prayer like it's the last kid picked for dodgeball. Prayer is not our last resort. It's our highest appeal. Joshua said everything he needed to say to God in one sentence, and it led to the sun standing still in the sky. So prayer isn't anemic, though our approach to it might be. Furthermore, all we can do now is pray ignores the fact that we can be acting, doing, and praying. Joshua prayed his prayer, then he got back fighting. Although God threw down hailstones, the Israelite army had to use the sun stood still so that the soldiers could take a break so that they could keep on doing their job. I want us to look at the miraculous through the lens of God's part and our part. I would love to journal the miraculous that God has done in each one of your lives. If we had a session of 30 minutes or hours or days or some weeks and just allow you to have the opportunity to share the miraculous, the supernatural action of God in your life over your lifetime, what would you articulate? What would you say that we could write down and journal down to then pass along? I guarantee it would be so encouraging. And it would demonstrate that God is still in the business of miracles. And there's probably so many miracles that have happened to you and to I and around us that we don't even know about. Last week, had some praying for our family after we were done with church, and we had an unexpected opportunity that God was orchestrating. God was doing His part. We didn't even know it. But there was a ministry opportunity that popped up that we had to deal with our part. So for the miracle to happen, if we didn't do our part, then where would the marriage of the miracle, could it take place? Or would we miss it? And so our family decided through prayer and making an intentional decision to do our part to try to act in obedience and faithful to God's calling in that situation. And later that night, late that night, after the ministry opportunity occurred, we could clearly see God's orchestration, God's part, but then also the faithfulness of the human responsibility to answer our part. And as a result, there were some major steps in the right direction of that opportunity. And I would argue, according to the definition that was a mile long, that I think there was a miracle that took place within that ministry opportunity in the Wilder household. Do you need a miracle in 2018? Yes, all of us do. A couple of questions for us as we discuss this subject of the miraculous and get into just a couple of miracles this morning. What is that thing that you need to happen that only God can do, that only God could orchestrate? It's much larger than you and your power. But at the same time, ask yourself the question, what is my or what is your responsibility in that miracle? Pastor?
Igualmente que la semana pasada vamos a estar hoy mirando una pregunta que ya hicimos la semana pasada y que hoy vamos a tener en mente. ¿Crees tú en los milagros? ¿Crees que hoy Dios todavía obra milagros en medio nuestro? Es una pregunta que nosotros tenemos que hacernos y probablemente no podamos responderla totalmente aquí, pero es una pregunta que nosotros tenemos que tener en mente, porque es una pregunta que tenemos que hacernos a nosotros mismos y encontrar la respuesta. ¿Creemos fielmente en que Dios aún obra milagros? Podríamos estar registrando toda la Biblia y encontrar decenas de ejemplos. Podríamos irnos a la vida práctica y encontrar también decenas de ejemplos de milagros. Habíamos hecho una mención de lo que es una definición de milagro según el diccionario. Y habíamos dicho que es un evento extraordinario que no puede ser explicado o que sobrepasa las leyes físicas y las leyes naturales. Habíamos dado una definición a la luz de la palabra de Dios, y han dicho que un milagro es un evento que solamente puede ser explicado como un resultado de una intervención del Dios de la Biblia. Cuando vemos que un milagro es solamente algo que la única explicación posible es atribuirle ese acto al Dios de la Biblia. Podríamos pensar en muchos de ellos. Tenemos ejemplos que pudieran ser graciosos, pero que si miramos cómo Dios lo está orquestando y cómo Dios lo está manejando, podemos ver que es un resultado milagroso. Tenemos en nuestra congregación muchas personas que ya sobrepasan los 80 años.
Algunos que sus mentes no están bien. Pero cuando le escuchamos hablar de Dios y dar una afirmación clara de su fe, nos da evidencia de que solamente eso es posible por una intervención divina. Podemos pensar en nuestra querida Teresa, su situación. Podemos pensar en cualquier otro ejemplo. Pero cuando lo vemos en medio de su decadencia mental, decir una afirmación clara y certera de la palabra de Dios que confirma su fe en Cristo, eso solamente puede ser orquestado como un milagro de Dios. Amén. Tengo un ejemplo que quizás para muchos conozcan. Una tribu en las Amazonas, los Aucas, hoy llamados los Guaraní. Esta tribu, cinco pastores evangélicos cristianos, bueno, evangélicos de los Estados Unidos, fueron al Amazonas en la década de los 50. Los cinco hombres fueron asesinados brutalmente por esta tribu. Sus vidas fueron tomadas brutalmente. Ellos iban con el único propósito de llevarles el evangelio. Pero sus vidas fueron quitadas. Y cuando miramos en la relación de lo que Pastor Nathan hablaba, de cómo mirar vertical y horizontalmente el obrar de Dios, es un milagro que la familia, las esposas de estos hombres, aún hayan querido quedarse en el lugar. Y que ellas fueron el instrumento para llevar el evangelio a esta tribu. En aquel entonces los Aucas, hoy los Guaraní, o algo similar a ese nombre. Pero es importante que el milagro que Dios obró, una tribu prácticamente salvaje, viviendo prácticamente en la edad de piedra, vinieron a Cristo y hoy, aún dentro de ellos, hay personas que están llevando el evangelio a otros rincones del mundo. ¿A quién le atribuimos eso? Al Dios de la Biblia. Solamente Dios puede obrar el milagro. El milagro de que tú y yo estemos hoy aquí, siendo tan malos, tan perversos, tan poco deseosos de Dios, y Dios nos haya traído a su presencia, solamente puede ser el resultado de un obrar divino. Y es importante que nosotros consideremos todo cuanto hemos recibido. Aún el privilegio hoy de poder predicar su palabra, si miramos muy bien dentro de nosotros, podemos entender lo que solamente es un resultado del obrar milagroso de Dios en nuestras vidas. Otro ejemplo gracioso. Si miramos a nuestro lado y miramos a nuestras esposas o a nuestros esposos y miramos nuestra condición, el que ellos nos amen es un milagro también. Es una realidad. El que alguien simplemente nos ame, el que una congregación nos acepte para ministrar su palabra, eso solamente es un obrar milagroso de Dios, porque de ninguna manera lo merecemos. Y es importante que pensemos, todo cuanto podemos hacer y hacemos viene como un resultado de un obrar divino. Dios ha intervenido en nuestras vidas milagrosamente, ha intervenido milagrosamente en nuestra iglesia y Dios seguirá interviniendo milagrosamente en medio nuestro. La pregunta que tenemos que formularnos nuevamente es, ¿estás esperando un obrar milagroso de Dios? ¿Necesitas en tu vida, en tu familia, en tu comunidad, que Dios obre de forma extraordinaria? Espero que la respuesta que sea sí. Tenemos una necesidad de que Dios intervenga milagrosamente en nuestras vidas. Tenemos la necesidad de que Dios intervenga de una forma extraordinaria. Hoy vamos a ver dos milagros nuevamente y vamos a permitir que Dios nos guíe a través de su palabra para fomentar nuestra fe y nuestra confianza en el obrar divino. Amén.
And so last week we looked at two miracles. Miracle number one last week was the miracle of the lineage of Jesus, that the gospel seed confidently and assuredly moving through 42 generations, we said last week, according to the Bible. Now that's miraculous. And our second miracle last week was the miracle of Jesus's fulfilled purpose, that he knew God's purpose and he went after God's purpose. And we applied that to our lives. The first miracle today is the miracle of Jesus's eternal security. The eternal security that we get with Jesus. We've sung about it today multiple times already, that Jesus is holding our hand. And because of that, we can face tomorrow. This year, We have, you look at 2017, we've talked about it time and time again, that when you get an update on your cell phone or you look at your news feed, you're just waiting for that big update, whether it be a natural disaster or whether it be in some type of evil, purposeful disaster. And so we've seen all kinds of disasters this past year. It has left those without Jesus very uncertain about today as well as the near future and the distant future. Natural disasters like fires and hurricanes, leading to the report I saw over $400 billion worth in damages. Evil disasters like shootings and impurities from influential leaders being exposed and brought to light, which has led to immeasurable amount of damage and damages. For the believer, we don't have to fear the now, or we don't have to fear the future. Jesus, John chapter 10, is talking to a Jewish audience who is questioning his messianic status. And he says, my sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. There's eternal security. And they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. Eternal security, that we're in the grip of Jesus. And then he says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand either. I and the Father are one. Eternal security, as we're in the grip of the Father. And then Paul says to the church of Ephesus in chapter 1, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance, eternal security, until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. The guarantee of the Holy Spirit. And did you notice the absolute words or phrases that were used in those scriptures? Never was used, no one was used, no one was used again, and the word guaranteed, all absolute statements and phrases. Christians are held in the grip of Jesus, in the grip of the Father, as well as guaranteed by the Holy Spirit our future. Especially during uncertain times, we trust in what is certain. So we pray that as stewards of being alive in this season, in America, at this time, as Christians, when the world is wondering why or the world is questioning the future, that we would have a message to deliver. That we wouldn't also be questioning who holds the future like they are. We know who holds the future, so let's communicate that to them and bridge the gospel. There's a song that's sung on Z88 a good amount of times, and I think it's perfect for this conversation. Maybe you've heard it. I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to read to you the lyrics. It's by Citizen Way, who sings this song entitled Bulletproof. They put it this way. I used to live like I was under attack, dodging arrows from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. Have you been there? But now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward. Why and how? Because I know. I have my armor now. No fear and no doubt can shoot me down. And now I'm bulletproof because of you. Because of you. The lyrics say, your love made a way. Now I'm not afraid. No matter what the world may say or what the world may do, I am bulletproof because of you. I know you have this whole thing under control. My soul is untouchable because you've already won me. My victory is not in this flesh and bone. It's in the cross. And I know nobody's taking it from me. I don't have to fear anymore. I don't have to worry anymore. We're in the grip of Jesus the Father as well as the Holy Spirit. The miracle of security, both now, but also for eternity. And we praise him for it. Pastor.
El primer milagro que veremos esta mañana es el milagro de la eterna seguridad. La seguridad que tenemos en Cristo. El milagro de la eterna seguridad en Cristo. Cuando miramos esto así solamente y empezamos a hablar, aquí puede decir de qué se refiere esto, a dónde va esto. Pero cuando miramos la Biblia y pensamos en el mundo que está tan cambiante, un mundo donde la economía está colapsando, un mundo que todos los eventos físicos de la tierra están colapsando, donde nos enfrentamos cada año situaciones difíciles, como el pastor Nathan ponía de ejemplo, los fuegos, los terremotos, toda la catástrofe que está a nuestro alrededor y de la cual ustedes estamos cercanos a ella. Un mundo tan cambiante, la palabra seguridad pudiera ser casi que un problema. Pero cuando pensamos en lo que la Biblia nos dice de por qué nosotros hoy podemos vivir el milagro de una eterna seguridad en Cristo, de saber lo que en Cristo estamos seguros, el Evangelio de Juan nos dice en el capítulo 10, verso 24 al 28. Y le rodearon los judíos y le dijeron: ¿hasta cuándo nos turbarás el alma? Si tú eres Cristo, dínoslo abiertamente. Jesús le respondió: hey, en nombre de mi Padre, ellas dan testimonio de mí, pero vosotros no creéis porque no sois de mis ovejas. Como él dice, mis ovejas oyen mi voz y yo las conozco y me siguen. Yo les doy vida eterna y no serán jamás, ni nadie las arrebatará. La seguridad que nosotros tenemos y que podemos vivir es porque estamos en las manos de Cristo, porque Él nos lleva de su mano, y eso es lo que nos da el confort y la seguridad para un mañana. Cuando Bill estaba cantando ahorita y compartiendo la canción que estaba compartiéndonos, nos está diciendo la razón, al igual que el canto que cantaron el coro, la razón por qué nosotros podemos enfrentarnos al mañana, la razón por la cual nosotros podemos irnos a casa, acostarnos y saber que el mañana está en las manos de Dios. Amén. Saber que el mañana nos está guardado porque Cristo así lo ha determinado. No solamente porque Jesús es Dios, Dios con nosotros, Él es el Cristo. Y es importante que nosotros estamos en sus manos. Mi Padre me las dio, es mayor que todos, y nadie la puede arrebatar de la mano de mi Padre, y yo y el Padre uno somos. Capítulo 10 de Juan, versos 29 y 30. Estamos asidos, estamos tomados por el Padre, hemos sido llevados a una comunión especial y hemos sido tomados por Él. Efesios capítulo 1, versos 3 al 14 nos dice: en Él también vosotros, habiendo oído la palabra de Dios, el Evangelio de vuestra salvación, y habiendo creído en Él, fuisteis la promesa que Él las habla de nuestra herencia hasta la redención de la posesión adquirida para la alabanza de su gloria. La garantía que nosotros tenemos de una morada eterna con Cristo, la garantía que nosotros tenemos de que el mañana podemos vivirlo en la confianza de que nuestro favor es porque hemos sido insertados en nosotros, que dice que es la garantía, es la seguridad de nuestra herencia. La única razón por la que tú puedes descansar en la herencia que tienes en Cristo es por la presencia del Espíritu Santo en tu vida. Y téngalo por seguro, si el Espíritu Santo no está en tu vida, simplemente no eres de Cristo. Pero si eres de Cristo, si has venido a la fe en Cristo, el Espíritu Santo te ha tomado y te ha hecho parte suya. Y eso solamente lo podemos atribuir. Eso solamente puede ser atribuido a ese Dios. La seguridad eterna se sostiene por tres cosas: hemos sido tomados por Cristo, estamos en las manos del Padre Celestial. Pero como si esto aún fuera poco, hemos sido como seguridad de la morada eterna. No solamente estamos en las manos de Cristo, también estamos en las manos del Padre Celestial. Y tenemos en nosotros la presencia del Espíritu Santo como seguridad, como garantía de nuestra morada eterna. Y eso solamente puede ser atribuido al obrar milagroso de Dios. Por eso la eterna seguridad en Cristo es un milagro que solamente puede ser orquestado por el Dios de la Biblia. Amén.
I'm hearing a lot of Cristo, a lot of Jesus. I don't know Spanish, but I know what Cristo means. Flipping your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 for our second miracle. Matthew chapter 9 for our second miracle. The miracle of Jesus, his healing power. What is God's role? What is our role, our responsibility when it comes to the miracle of the healing power that comes from Jesus? Jesus stepped into a boat in verse 1, crossed over and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." No, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God who had given such authority to men. In this story, we find two types of healing. First, spiritual healing. Who else can provide spiritual healing by forgiving sin? As Christians, we have forgiveness in Christ. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, what happens? He is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Some of us as Christians need to accept that and move on. But the enemy doesn't want us to accept it, and he doesn't want us to move on. And so we hammer ourselves for the rest of our lives because we won't receive the gift of forgiveness that Jesus offers us. The psalmist says in chapter 103, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he, God, removed our transgressions from us." And then God says finally through Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, "Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." And so first, you have spiritual healing, and then second, you have the physical healing. Now back then, no medicine required for that event. No doctors were required because the great physician was there. Here's what was required though. Faith. He said, because of your faith. Faith was the requirement. Who else, I ask you, has this type of power? Who needs healing spiritually, emotionally, physically? What's God's role in that? And what's our role of faith in that? Pastor?
Mateo capítulo 9, versos del 1 al 8 nos dice la palabra. Entonces entrando Jesús en la barca pasó al otro lado y vino a su ciudad. Y sucedió que le trajeron un paralítico tendido sobre una cama. Y al ver a Jesús la fe de ellos, dijo al paralítico, "Te animo, hijo, ten ánimo, hijo, tus pecados te son perdonados." Entonces algunos de los escribas decían de entre sí, "Este blasfema." Y conociendo Jesús los pensamientos de ellos, dijo, "¿Por qué pensáis mal en vuestros corazones? ¿Por qué? ¿Qué es más fácil decir, 'Los pecados te son perdonados', o decir, 'Levántate y anda'? Pues para que sepáis que el Hijo del Hombre tiene potestad en la tierra para perdonar pecados", dice entonces al paralítico, "Levántate, toma tu cama y vete a tu casa." Entonces él se levantó y se fue a su casa, y la gente al verlo se maravilló y glorificó a Dios que había dado tal potestad a los hombres. Segundo milagro que podemos ver, que vamos a ver en esta mañana, es el milagro del poder sanador de Jesús. Cuando a veces pensamos en el poder sanador de Cristo, solamente pensamos o podemos centrarnos en lo que es la sanidad física. Pero cuando nos vamos a este evento, en este pasaje, estamos viendo que hay todo un conjunto de cosas que están involucradas. No solamente el poder sanador de Cristo trajo sanidad física, sino que trajo sanidad física, emocional y espiritual. El propósito del obrar milagroso de Dios en este acto, a través de lo que Cristo hizo, fue traer una restauración completa a este individuo. Él tomó a este paralítico que estaba tendido, lo puso en pie y lo echó a andar con el propósito que Dios tenía en su vida. Dios necesitaba levantarlo, sanarlo físicamente, pero también necesitaba una restauración espiritual para que entendiera el obrar de Dios en su vida y el propósito con que lo hacía. Por eso cuando nos centramos en el poder sanador de Cristo, tenemos que ver que ese poder milagroso trae sanidad física, sanidad emocional y sanidad espiritual. Y es importante que veamos eso a través de la Escritura y que entendamos que ese poder solamente le es atribuido a Cristo. Nadie más tiene un poder que de sí mismo salga poder sanador. Nadie más tiene tal poder que pueda sanarte emocionalmente y nadie más puede sanarte espiritualmente que Cristo Jesús. Es un poder que sale de Él porque simplemente está en Él por su divinidad, por ser Dios. Y es importante que entendamos la realidad de ese milagro y que podamos descansar en ese Jesús que obra tal clase de milagro, que nos sana espiritualmente, físicamente y emocionalmente, porque de esa manera podemos entonces nosotros clamar a ese Cristo que puede hacer todas estas cosas de manera extraordinaria en nosotros. Amén.
Diane, if you wouldn't mind coming up, we're going to move into a time of commitment as we begin to close. What I would say is before we can set the goals that, by the way, start tomorrow, our New Year's resolutions to start tomorrow. So we have half a day left to eat a little bit more, to do what we want to do a little bit more, but tomorrow, if you know anything about setting goals, I'm kind of convicted because I should have already been hitting those goals running into tomorrow. If I start tomorrow, maybe I'm a little late, but it'll still be good. Before you can set those New Year's resolution goals and launch into God's calling for 2018, God's word says you must be in His grip first. And then, how do you move forward until you receive healing from the great physician? We must depend on God this upcoming year to do His part, the vertical side of the miracle. And then we must also complete our part, the horizontal side of the miracle. And as I look at this picture of today, last year we had no idea. We had no clue that this would happen today. That what God was going to orchestrate between our Hispanic and English congregations coming, had no clue. We just said, God, we want to pray prayers and go after with boldness your will. So at the end, we say, God, it wasn't us. It had to be you. We've been saying it every week, every day, all year long. May we continue that into 18. This just one of the things. We could sit here probably for a week straight as we reflect on this past year and go, wow, look what God did. Part of the requirement, though, was a church that's willing to be faithful to His call. And take patience, sacrifice, doing some things out of the box. And so when I read this definition, I think about all of that. When the vertical action of God meets the horizontal action of man, you get a supernatural action that is orchestrated by Him, His power. So we can't brag about it. We just brag on Him. So while at the same time impacting mankind to strengthen and advance His kingdom, He actually includes us in His purposes, in His will, what He wants to do in America, what He wants to do in East Orlando, what He wants to do to and through UBC. He actually, the God of the universe, includes us in that. What does all of that look like in 2018? In a moment, we'll pray. We'll have, during this song, a time where you could spend in prayer at your seat. If you want to come to the altar, Pastor Roberto and I and others will be available to pray with you as we conclude and as we launch this morning. Pastor?
Antes de terminar, queremos hacer un tiempo de compromiso, un tiempo que nos lleva a reflexionar en lo que hemos compartido en el día de hoy. Cuando pensamos en el milagro de la eterna seguridad, que estamos en Cristo, que hemos sido tomados y estamos en sus manos. Cuando pensamos en el poder sanador, tenemos que hacernos también la pregunta, ¿esto qué me lleva a mí? ¿Esto cómo yo puedo comprometerme con esto? ¿Cómo esto puede impactar mi vida? De tal manera que el próximo año yo pueda centrar mi mirada en todo lo que Cristo puede hacer por nosotros. Si nosotros consideramos lo que hemos estado definiendo como un milagro y entendemos las implicaciones tanto del obrar de Dios en nuestras vidas como el impacto horizontal que esto tiene, tenemos que considerar que la única razón por la cual Dios va a orquestar una acción milagrosa en nuestras vidas es para llevarnos a impactar de tal manera nuestra comunidad, nuestro ambiente, nuestra iglesia, para que el reino de Dios se extienda. Y es importante que nosotros entendamos, no estamos aquí por una simple casualidad, estamos aquí con un propósito eterno, y ese propósito eterno lo ha determinado el Dios de los cielos. Ahora, nosotros tenemos un compromiso. Viene un año nuevo. ¿Cuál es el compromiso que haces con Dios? ¿En qué te quieres comprometer con Dios? ¿Cuál es tu necesidad? ¿Cuál es el obrar que tú necesitas a fin de que tú puedas encaminarte a lo que Dios ha determinado para tu vida? Vamos a estar orando. Los que sientan una necesidad especial de oración, les invitamos que vengan al frente. Tanto el pastor Neta como yo vamos a estar orando. Queremos orar a fin de que desde lo alto descienda poder en su vida y usted pueda cumplir con aquello que Dios le ha llamado. Pero yo quiero tener un poquito de tiempo para compartirles algo de lo que es mi reto para el próximo año. I try to speak English. My English is not very well.
You do a great
try.
Job.
I want sharing something for everyone. For the next year, one of my goals is preaching English.
Wow.
Uh-oh. I don't know. Maybe 1 month, 2 months, 3 months late. Maybe 2 weeks. But I hope, yeah, it's a miracle. But I hope that God's word over me, because I want to preach in English. The only reason is because when I look at you and I see your face, if you don't understand anything, I feel bad. Really, I feel bad. Because I want that every word that I say, you understand, because I want that you understand the what God wants that you listen. And one do you love, the one that the God wants, I don't know, it's confused for me. I try to say something that you know what is that the God have for you.
That's right. That's right.
This is my goal. I am asking that everybody here pray for me.
Amen.
Because my hope is that the Pastor Nathan sometimes preach in Spanish too.
I knew that was coming.
Thank you.
I knew that was coming. So let's transition to this time of commitment. Let's stand up. Isn't this fun? We were talking last week. Ministry can be fun. Church can be fun. This is fun. A combination service. And so let's have a time of commitment before God. Next week, things will get back to normal. Now, I'm not really a fan of normal. But as we know normal, it'll start next week. But let's, before we get out of here, we've got a couple of announcements. But before we do that, let's have a time of commitment before our Lord as we sing together. If you need prayer, we're up here. We'd love to partner with you in prayer.
combo worship came out of one practice a couple of weeks ago. And thank you, Diane, for your leadership and team, for your leadership and commitment.
Let's pray. Let's go ahead and have a seat and pray and do a couple of announcements. God, we say a simple prayer this morning, but it's a big one. God, that we would be all about you this year and that you would give us the courage to follow after you, whatever that means. To you be the glory, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen.
Padre, una vez más, en tu presencia estamos para hacer como iglesia tal vez la última oración de este año. Pero sabemos que no va a ser la última oración que hagamos para clamar a ti por tu ayuda, por tu protección. Rogamos tu bendición para esta congregación. Rogamos tu congregación y tu bendición y tu guianza para el nuevo año. Que tu mano majestuosa de poder descienda sobre cada uno de los que estamos presentes, sobre nuestros familiares, a fin de que tu gracia y tu misericordia nos guíe continuamente a la obediencia a ti, Señor. Gracias por tu gran milagro en nuestras vidas. Gracias por todo lo que has hecho, oh Dios. En el nombre de Cristo Jesús. Amén.
Amen. A couple of announcements. John Crosby, you're going to be lead off. John, could you, not to embarrass you, but if you could stand up or you can shout from there. God, if you could look back there, he's going to say a couple of things about a possible ministry in 2018.
Amen.
And we're looking at starting a bus ministry. We've already identified a family that we will be working with to bring on Sunday mornings. And if everything works out, we're going to need a few people to help out. Until Brother Josh over there heals from what he has, I'm the driver. And we need people who are willing to step up to be a monitor on the bus. Because if you've got a child who comes without a parent, they can be a little unruly at times. They can also, kids nowadays, and even back when I was born, we get at each other. And a bus driver alone cannot handle driving that bus safely and taking care of making sure the children are calmed down enough to be on that bus. So we have a sign-up sheet here in the back. Those who are willing to step up and volunteer to help us out with that, I'll ask that you be in prayer for it to see if this is something that God is leading you to do. And we're going to get together and make it all work out to where we can start doing this and hopefully reach some people that desperately need Jesus.
Thank you, John. John's traveled all over the country and transportation as like buses and other vehicles and planes. And we thank you for his, helicopters. And so an indicator that God's on the move and preparing something, personnel, people, bus drivers and leaders to help them, but also a bus. And so we have a gentleman, some of you know him, Peter O'Driscoll, who leads Orlando Children's Church. They park one of their buses right here. He said we can use it anytime. So we have a bus. We have drivers. There's all kinds of people that need transportation. Hello. Let's be good stewards and let's go do this. And so we look forward to that. And also, Peter O'Driscoll is going to come in. He said, one thing, I'm going to let you use my bus, but I want to come preach at your church. So in a couple of weeks, he's going to come in. And every time I've heard him in multiple environments over the years, and you always will leave inspired as he shares God's word and prayerfully some of his testimony as well. Baptism Sunday is next week. If you're interested in that and you didn't know that, then come talk to us after service today. We'll schedule an appointment with you. You could possibly jump in right there or get ready for the next Sunday when we baptize. We're going to have a business meeting coming up. You'll look at we're filling up this whole thing and we're fighting for more space. But you'll see a special called business meeting that it's, you know, when we do business with God and business meeting here at UBC, it's a good thing. And so we look forward to that special called business meeting. We'll tell you more about that next week. And then we're going to have some community outreach. There's going to be a UBC Kids volunteer meeting on the 21st. And so all that's happening. We're going to have a UCF ministry interest meeting. We're going to start targeting that and moving forward quickly on those opportunities coming up soon. So we already have had interest meetings, and we'll move forward on a UCF ministry interest meeting in the coming weeks. We'll let you know the exact date on that when we land on that. And I'm going to try something that I've never done before, but I love sports and I love Jesus and I love people. So I said, I want to put all that together and do something called Practice with the Pastor. So next week, and also a couple of weeks after that, on the 7th and the 21st of January, I'm encouraging kids and students and parents if they want to, but bring a bag lunch, bring a lunch box like you would at school, bring your gear, leave it in your car. After church, we eat, and then we go practice. And so I've got 5 different sports and people over these sports that'll help your kid or your student just have fun as we do some, as we play sports together. Baseball, softball, soccer, football, and basketball is what we're going for. All at the same time. Again, we have space, we have a field, we have equipment, we have people. It's a no-brainer. Let's do it. So if you want to join me in any of that, if you have a kid or an adult that wants to do it, now January is a perfect time because in between seasons for a lot of people, I'm going to also think about, and you can too, neighborhood kids or people that you have influence over or with, to get word out about show up at UBC and practice your sport after church. That's fun. So if you want to be involved, there's a sign-up sheet in the back as well. Okay? Sound good? Yes. Ready to be dismissed?
Yes.
Let's do it. Let's stand to our feet. God bless you as you go. We'll see you throughout the week and or next week. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year's Eve. A couple hours left and we hit 2018. God bless you. Thanks for joining us today. Yes, He is.
That's normal. I mean, like, oh, here's what we're going to do. Yeah. Our ministry.